And just for the public, and please check my math here, but for the if we stay with the 30% increase, the unmetered for residential is currently $47.15, and it would, with a 30% increase, it would go up to $61.30. Okay, so that's about a $170 increase per year. Now, my question is, the loan that we are proposing, and all of this is sort of fuzzy because we're trying to put it together, and as the borough manager just stated, he's trying to get another $2 million from the Denali Commission to help us in this effort. But currently, we think the loan is $3.821 million, but we're not sure about that. And at 1.5%, that's not locked in.
So the best process might be, Amber, you want to comment on the sequence of the funding, and then I can follow up with the numbers?
Yes.
Because it is a bit involved. So
what we have in place for funding for this project right now is, number one, a matching grant from EDA. Their contribution through the grant is $2.9 million, $2,966,000, I think, to be exact. That's a matching grant. We are able to use a loan, a federal loan, but not a federal grant to match that. So our plan has always been to use the USDA loan for the project as our match for that grant. So in addition to that grant, we have the USDA loan. It's a 40-year term loan at $3,821,000. 40 years, and we asked them yesterday what the interest rate is, and it changes from year to year and sometimes a couple times within the year. It's a percentage of what we're considered is intermediate poverty, or where we stand with our community. It's not poverty, but we're considered an intermediate community. And the last one that was released that we found, we were 80% of the market rate is what we would be charged for the interest rate. But that's going to be the interest rate at the time of closing that loan. And the time of closing that loan will be likely about 2 years from now, when we are would we expend those funds. And there's a very prescriptive way that we have to use all the funding. USDA says that all of their funding is used last. Their loan has to be used up before their grant can be used. So their grant is the very last piece of funding for the project that can be used. So by the time we get through that loan from USDA, we'll likely be, my guess is, about 3/4 of the way through the project, because we must find additional funding to use to move the project forward, and all the other funding will have to come before that USDA loan. So it's going to be pushed out when that loan is closed. We don't know the exact interest rate right now. If it were last month, it would have been 2.65%.
Okay.
That's the 40-year term.
So the mean household income didn't dictate the rate. It dictates the interest rate.
It doesn't dictate either of those. It's just it's a new perspective that the new USDA director has suggested for funding. Utilities should be best practices. They should be at that rate for their water rates. We're not required to be there right now to be able to ask for more funding from them, but we also must be able to be at a rate, we must have water rates where we can pay back this $3.8 million loan that we've committed to. In addition to the $3.8 million loan from USDA, we have a $3,161,000 grant. In addition to that, we contributed $1.1 million of local funds to the project, and that was what was used to enter into a contract with Dow. That was a combination of $119,000 that was earlier committed from the water fund, $603,000 and some change from the ARPA grant, and $385,000 from the sales tax health and sanitation fund, subfund. So that's what we have on the books today. We have about a $4.3 million shortfall. We are in the process of submitting a $3.8 million loan to DEC under the State Revolving Loan Program. That number matches the USDA loan because, it's a long story, I'm trying to give it all to you in short order, but USDA also requires that their loan, as we move through the project and we use up the amount of money that is coming from their loan, they're not going to reimburse us until all that money has been expended through the construction project and disbursements. So what they require, and this is by regulation, they require us to have interim financing for their loan portion. Earlier, they were mandating that we go out and seek commercial lending for that interim financing. We were in the process of working with Wells Fargo, who was the best one we could find with interest rates for the interim financing. We were about ready to close that deal, and USDA and DEC got together and decided they would use Wrangell as a test case to allow the EPA-funded SRF program, State Revolving Fund program, to serve as a interim financing type loan. So a year and a half ago, we submitted the first part of that application to DEC to get that going. And we, through that first questionnaire you send to see if you have merit, you end up on an intended use plan. It's a very long, drawn-out process. And to be able to try to acquire the shortfall in funding that we need to move this project forward, we decided to turn that interim financing loan application into a full-fledged loan application towards meeting our unmet funding needs for this project. We're not obligated to use all those loan funds, but we felt like we needed to ask for that to move this project forward and also show our funders that we're committed to finding the money. So the resolution that you have before you tonight, or later on down the line, we're asking you to approve us applying for that loan, and that's required by that program. They require that we have a resolution from the assembly that says we're approved to apply for that loan and execute the loan if received. Okay. We aren't obligated to use that money, even if we accept it, only once we request it. What DEC has already offered us to that loan that they've not approved yet is a $500,000 forgiveness. We asked them yesterday when we met with them, what if we didn't use all of the $3.8 million of that loan? How would that affect the $500,000 forgiveness that you have already offered us? And it as long as we spend at least, or we use at least $1 million of that $3.8 million, they would forgive the $500,000. If we use less than the $1 million, it would be kind of a prorated to be a discounted forgiveness based on what we did use. What else? So with the $4.3 million shortfall, we have this loan that we're going after. We also have a up to a $2 million Denali grant that we're getting ready to apply for. That grant is due May 13th. That is a grant that can be used for new infrastructure, water infrastructure. It can also, as federal funding and a grant, which is unusual, they're allowing that money to be used to match other federal funding. So it could be used as the match to the EDA grant that we have. We're also going to be applying to EDA for additional money. They're encouraging us to do that. It is a match requirement. So again, you know, any money that comes from EDA, we have to show we've got the match. If we were successful in getting the $2 million from Denali Commission, you know, we'd still have the already committed $3.8 million loan from USDA to act as our match, which we were going to do from the beginning. So we would have some match options to potentially some additional EDA money if they granted it to us. We're also going to be applying back to USDA for some additional grant money. They're allowing us, based on certain criteria, to apply up to 45% of the project for grant funds. So that could be significant there also.
6.9 million.
Yeah.
It would be like 45%
roughly. Yeah.
From
3 million. They've already given us 3.1.
Yeah.
So we have some room to look at finding grant money. But again, we would like to, it's prudent for us to move forward with the DEC loan. We don't have to accept it or use it. Any of it that we do use up to $1 million, there is some forgiveness that would be provided to us. And that's if we needed it, you know, if we needed it. I think that's all that I have to share about the funding right now.
Yeah, quite a few moving parts, like all these gears. Mm-hmm. So they recommend a 40-year loan. And
USDA's loan is a 40-year term loan.
Is a 40-year.
DEC's loan is a 20-year.
Okay, maybe that's where I'm getting the confusion.
And the DEC is at roughly 1.5%.
Okay.
They couldn't confirm that with us yesterday either. They said it's changed just a little bit. It's probably a little bit above that right now, but just above that.
Okay. And the loan will begin 2 years from now, do you think?
Well, it's going to depend on, you know, what other funding we
start date.
It'll depend on what. What other funding we receive,
okay,
and the sequence of funding use that is dictated by USDA. The loan that you're looking at tonight, though, we could begin using it anytime, but they also, our repayment on that does not begin until within a year, one year after substantial completion of the project. So that could be, we may not be able to start paying that back until, let's say, if we're still on track with our current schedule, that would be September of 2025, that we would start paying this DEC loan back.
Okay, so 3 years. So I'm trying to figure out the math here, and you know, I'm using $700,000 for revenues. So if you do a 30% increase, that's $210,000 just extra dedicated to a loan. And then the payoff for the loan, I don't know if this matches you, but yearly I wonder if this was for 40 years. Yeah, for 40 years, the payoff per year is about $128,000. So
for the 20 year?
That's for the 40 year.
Yeah, so basically what I did is I created a model for each, I guess.
Yeah, so the radio listening public can hear. Thank you.
Thanks, Amber. Yeah, the sequence is a bit complicated, so that's why I had her explain it, because she's explained it pretty eloquently. So essentially, I've created a model. I got the proposed method that me and Jeff came up with. I got Dave's model at 30%, and I got Patty's model at 10.5532. So I can plug in the interest rate, I can plug in the term, and it'll spit me out exactly what we have in surplus above our current profitability margin right now. And so the loan payment, and again, this is kind of speculative, right? Because we don't know what the interest rate's going to be when we lock in this loan 2 to 3 years from now. It's not out of the question to see it be 5%. And at 5%, our payment would be $222,000. Annually, so just a little bit less than $250,000. So the more you approve up front now, we got the time value money on our side, and essentially that builds a buffer for interest rate risk. So if we do see some crazy interest rate at 6.5% or something, at least we've saved up this amount of money over the last 2 or 3 years to address that. And the USDA loan is the big piece of that piece of funding, and essentially we're kind of locked in on there because that's the key to accessing the USDA grant money. So I'm happy to, I can tell you what our excess will be at certain rates of increases, or I don't know what your questions are, but happy to answer.
Well, and I would just add to what he just kind of said is that, I mean, we have some risk associated here as well, depending on what grant money we actually get.
Yeah.
So if we don't get the 45% and we don't get some of these other grant monies we're looking for, it's going to be more at the $7 million range. It's going to be our total deficit if we don't get some of these other grant monies. So that's going to be a struggle for us if we can't get them. Regardless of the 3.8 million, it's going to be closer to seven. So that's a risk. It also, a risk is if it comes in, it doesn't come in at our estimated 15.5, and if it comes in higher than that, we can still try to get up to 45%, but there's risk associated. So the more we're putting up front right now and putting into savings, it just kind of buffers some of that risk that we're going to be seeing down the road.
Assembly Member Howell?
Well, and also, I mean, it's, you know, that's not the only water project that is coming up. Like the, you know, we have an earthen dam that any time could just bloop, and then the cost to the consumer is more than $14 a month, and it's potentially like that. So I think it's important to keep that in mind, that we're saving for like all the giant, huge infrastructure projects that we have.
I would just make the point that no matter how high you increase the rates, you can't expect these rates to absorb the deferred maintenance for water. There's just no way for water treatment, reservoir bypass, dam stabilization, water mains underneath the road. I mean, you can go on, and we'd be close to $100 million in projects probably with water. So no way will you ever absorb all the deferred maintenance through rate increases. But if you do it now, obviously we got the time value money on our side. And so it helps us save to address and start chipping away at these. But I certainly can plug any of this into the model and you can spit it back out to you. But, you know, obviously Dave's model puts us in a pretty, you know, at 5%, 3 years from now, you know, and modeled out 40 years, we have an excess of 3.4 million of our current profitability right now. So we keep our current profitability, but 3.4 million on top of that after 40 years using Dave's model. Under Patty's method, we'd be at a $2.3 million deficit, meaning we would be chipping away $2.3 million of profitability to address this. And then at me and Jeff's method that we proposed originally at 21.5322, that would be $78,000 as a deficit. So basically big deficit, right in the middle, actually saving with Dave. So that is, and in Dave's model, I assume that we'd increase at 2% every year thereafter and match inflation. So, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Would you do what? So for 10 years, will you tell me, I know what the future value of our reserves are for 10 years, current conditions. What would it be in 10 years using the 30%?
Our reserve amount? I can tell you what it would be. I don't have the actual reserve starting figure right now, but I can tell you what the excess above current profitability would be. And under Dave's model, it'd be $44,000 in excess of our current profitability.
$44,000?
Yep. You want to hear your model?
10 years.
At 10 years, -1.3 million.
No, because
you don't have to carry the one. It's actually 10 million.
No, I dispute that. Because,
okay, we might need to get the projector out.
it'll be a little less than 2 million, but okay. All right, so this is a 30% increase, and then for transparency, you would think that in the future, another 2% per year?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that would be the responsible thing to do for both the assembly and the rest of the community, because then there's not this big rip off the Band-Aid, true up kind of ever again. We can kind of just continue along that path and stay in touch with you guys on an annual basis.
Assembly Member Powell?
Actually, I would like is, and I don't know if we can do this, and I don't really I'll say something about newspaper article that I didn't really say. I didn't trust the assemblies for next future. Actually said, I don't think we should put on them something that we do ourselves, okay? And then the other one is I would not lock us into a 2% because inflation might be 4% next year and 1% the year after that, and I look at that every year as inflation to look at our rates.
Just to make a point, that's exactly why rates are going to come to the assembly every year for approval.
I think for the sake of modeling, in a typical environment, you can safely assume 2% across the board. I mean, that's what we use in financial modeling all the time. But yeah, you're right. I think it's something that should be evaluated year after year. I mean, maybe it might come in under, it might come in 3% over. So that's why we should hopefully get back to annual revisiting rates.
Well, this is a tough decision for me because, you know, businesses are just starting to come out of the two-year COVID slump, and it's just, it may not seem, you know, that, what did I say, $170 extra per year for a residential rate, but, you know, for some people it's, on top of everything else, it's just okay. Any other questions? All right, time to vote. Poll vote, please.
Assembly members Brian Howe?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. All right, item 11B. Or, another public hearing item, ordinance number 1022 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending certain sections in Chapter 15.16, Cemetery, and establishing a new process for fees and rates by removing the fees and rates from the Wrangell Municipal Code and adding them to a fee and rate schedule. I will open up the public hearing and ask, is there anyone in the audience who wants to speak to this item? Okay, seeing none, close the public hearing and get an administrative report.
So this this was just simply pulling the cemetery, all cemetery rates out of the code and putting it into a fee schedule that will be reviewed annually.
Okay. By resolution. Any questions, Assembly? And did we get a motion on this?
No.
We didn't have a motion. Okay, so I'll entertain a motion.
Move to approve first reading of ordinance number 1022.
Okay.
Should be just move to approve the ordinance.
Right.
No. Oh, okay. Move to approve ordinance number 1022.
Okay, we have a motion.
Second.
Okay, motion by Howell, second by Powell. Discussion? All right, seeing none, poll vote please.
Okay. Assembly members Ryan Howe?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. All right, item 11C, another public hearing item, resolution number 04-22-1688 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, establishing the fee schedule for the Wrangell cemeteries. I will open up to a public hearing. Get an administrative report, please.
So, looking at the cemetery fees, we decided to raise them a little bit because of the new cemetery expansion project we are going to be undertaking, as well as the new columbarium. With the cost of the new niches for each niche, that'll pay for the columbarium once all the niches are purchased. And also working with Tom, just getting the realistic rates for what it costs the guys to do burials and insert the ashes and stuff like that.
Okay, any public testimony on this item? Okay, seeing none, I'll close the public hearing and entertain a motion.
Move to approve resolution number 0422-1688.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Howell. Discussion? All right, hearing none, poll vote, please.
Sure. Assemblymember Stoudemire?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Ryan Howell?
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. All right, and the last public hearing item is 11D, Ordinance Number 1023 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending certain sections in Chapter 5.08, Revenue and Finance, in the Wrangell Municipal Code. I will open up the public hearing and administrative report, please.
Yeah, so this kind of does three things. One, it eliminates the double taxing on the wholesale for some of our local wholesalers, so they're not double taxed on the sales tax. It also, any fees that they have for late overdue or things like that, it goes to a simple math where it's 5% and then 1% after that every month. It just makes it simpler. And then it's as far as our property tax, it goes to an 80-20 split.
Sales tax,
80-20 on the sales tax.
Okay, and 20% to the schools for maintenance and funding and things.
Operating.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Any public testimony on this item? All right. Seeing none, have a motion.
Move to approve ordinance number 1023.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by DeBoard. Any discussion? Okay, seeing none, poll vote, please.
Assembly members Ryan Howell?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. All right, under unfinished business, we have three items. The first item was the previous 6B and assembly that's located on page 11. And 6B is resolution number 04-22-1689 of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, authorizing application to the State of Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation for a loan from the Alaska Drinking Water Fund for the Water Treatment Plant Improvements Project.
Move to approve resolution number 04-22-1689.
Dalrymple seconds.
Okay, motion by Howe, second by Dalrymple. Discussion. We'll have an administrative report.
So as Amy did a great job of kind of walking through our process as far as why this is needed, this helps us get the financing we need to be able to start moving forward with the water treatment plant.
That was really helpful to get all those grants and loans straight. Any questions from the assembly? Assembly Member Dalrymple.
Just a comment. I asked for this to be moved to full consideration strictly because of the dollar amount.
Yeah.
It is a big chunk of change, and I think the public was warranted the discussions and then our individual vote on it.
Okay.
But I totally support it.
All right. Okay. Assembly Member Powell.
So, just since this came up on a dollar amount, where did we come up with $9 million?
For the project?
Yeah.
Initially?
That was from the 2017 estimate.
So now we got an actual estimate in writing for $15 million?
We did.
Okay.
All
right.
Same engineering firm.
Right. Any other discussion?
Where are we at on the timeline?
They're currently in design right now. 35% design is scheduled for
end of May. And complete design done by January.
What is your contingency for this if it goes another year?
We
How much money? Nobody knows.
We have a 50% estimating contingency in the 59.
Okay.
15% contingency. Okay. All right. Poll vote, please.
Yes, Assembly Members Ryan Powell.
Yes.
John Ripple.
Yes.
David Powell.
Yes.
DeBoer.
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Miller.
Yes. All right, the last item under unfinished business was the previous 6D item. It's on page 171.
Wait a minute.
Did we miss it? Oh, 6C. Miss 6C.
C.
C, I mean.
Oh.
Yeah, it should be a C.
Oh, so this was the second one, isn't it? Okay. So 6C is on page 14. I got ahead of myself. Thank you. This is resolution number 04-22-1690. Of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, authorizing the sale of public land on the public surplus website in conformance with Wrangell Municipal Code Chapter 16.12, specifically Lot A, Block 54, WMC replat, plat 2016-6, Wrangell Recording District.
Move to approve resolution number 04-22-1690.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by DeBoer. Administrative report, please.
This is the Wrangell Medical Center, the old Wrangell Medical Center. We did get an appraisal on that property for $830,000, so that's what we're recommending the starting bid for the auction to start at. And then we do have some time in here for us to be able to get everything on the auction and post it on or after May 16th would be our timeline to get this up for sale.
Any questions, Assembly Member DeBoer?
I have quite a few issues with this. So the first is the price. The land value is the majority of the price, the appraisal price. It's like well over 50%. So the other thing, multitude of things. We always talk about site control and how important that is, and you're giving up your site control for basically $300,000 over what the value of the land is. I've worked there. We looked at remediating that facility versus building new back when it was under the city's jurisdiction, and it was about $20-some million estimate to bring it up to code. I don't see somebody coming in with an extra $20 million laying around and bringing it up to what it should be. I think there's a very good potential somebody buying it for that price and getting in well over their head, and then we got another significant issue, and then it's out of our hands. And then the last thing I'll say is we talk about needing a place to, we got a problem with our the police and fire station, and we're going to try to build a new police station, new fire station, potentially. Where are we going to put them? I mean, there's what other parts of the land does the city owner have control over within the city's jurisdiction that we could potentially put a new fire station or a new police station in? So I just, to me, it's, you know, it's way too much risk for $800,000+ when the majority of that is the land value.
Mm-hmm. Assembly Member Dalrymple.
I have similar concerns mainly with I like the idea of us moving forward to do something with that property instead of just worrying about it. And it has been a goal, I think, of the Assembly to not just own properties around town, to get them into some sort of functional tax roll base and back into private hands. But back to what Jim mentioned, I always assumed that this was sort of the reserved capacity for whatever we're going to do with the public safety building. And so maybe a question to Jeff is your thoughts on, well, number one, where is that? Where is our assessment of that building? What are we going to do? And then where else could we go if we need to move out of that building either completely or, you know, in phases? Where would we go?
So there are a couple spots that we have been looking at. One is on Ishiyama Drive, kind of heading that corner, right corner of the golf course as you make that turn There, we own the parcel of land there. It would require a little bit of site work, especially given the unknowns of the muskeg, and then we'd also have to work with the Army Corps of Engineers as far as any offsets that we would have to have, given that it's a wetland area. There's lots behind the current medical center. It wouldn't be as an ideal location that we also have that could be potential as well for sites. I think by the time you look at the remediation demolition of the current site that we have, your costs of being able to get the other lots up to where they need to be, you should be under probably what the demolition costs and disposal of some of those hazardous materials are going to be. And as mentioned, with the existing building, the Wrangell Medical Center, there's a ton of issues with that building. We start talking about remediating the public safety building. I'd much rather do that than start trying to remediate the medical center, because it's got way more issues than what the public safety building does. So I definitely don't want to start remediating the Wrangell Medical Center.
So that wouldn't be preferred fallback?
I would think if we had the funding to do everything and to demolition the site, it would be an ideal site, no doubt about it, for a public safety building. I would just say, given the limited funding we have to be able to demolish the site and then develop the site, I don't think we don't have the funding to be able to do that, in my opinion.
I guess just kind of to get more clarity, I was looking at a temporary solution for taking the fire trucks, for example, or the police out of that building.
Right.
Where would we put them?
Yeah, fire trucks, definitely not. If we did start doing some type of, depends on what we want to do with the building we currently have. If we remediate it, we could probably do the exterior with everyone still in there, so we could at least seal it in, start with the exterior, do the roof, do the walls, and probably just kind of have to shuffle people around within the building to be able to accommodate some of that work and kind of work as we go. As you start trying to then go in and do the interior of the buildings, we would probably, my recommendation is we start looking at some of the rental spaces we have in town, using some of those as temporary office spaces, and then as we can, then move out into the new facility as that gets developed. That would be my preference, is to utilize some of the facilities that are around town.
Assembly Member Powell.
So the only part that I have a problem with is that where to put this building in. If I remember right, we're talking like $2.5, $3 million just to demolition that thing. Am I correct?
$2 million
to demolition it. But then the site work, I thought, was another like almost $1 million just to get it up to par before we could build on it.
I'm sorry, I don't have that number in my head.
Okay. So, and then the other thing is, for one, when you sell something, you don't get to say what's going on with it. I mean, someone buys it, it's theirs. And whether we have a problem with it later on down the road is beside the point. I am 100% for getting rid of properties that we have. We have no reason to have them. And if this is ready to go and get rid of, then I am 100% for getting rid of it. It's not our place to sit here and decide, once it's sold, if it's going to be a problem. I mean, that's not our problem to decide that. That would be like selling the Institute property and then telling people, well, okay, you can't do anything on it. That's not our place to say. I mean, the only problem I have with this whole thing is giving up the land before we do something with the other building, but I'm not going to wait 3 to 5 years and be sitting on that property that we could be getting taxes on. That's ridiculous.
If I could add something as well.
Borough manager?
So just one additional thing to add on is what our current expenses are in that building every year, because we still provide heat to it, we still provide electrical power to it, and then we also still do the maintenance to that building, because if we don't, then it'll fall apart. It'll be a hazard. It'll be a public safety hazard. So that's around $80,000 to $100,000.
With the insurance, it's just under $100,000, what we budgeted last year.
Every year.
Every year.
Every year.
Assembly Member DeBoard.
Just kind of a follow-up. I just don't... We know that it's going to be $20 million more to fix it. I understand it's going to be a significant amount to even demo it and have the site. I just don't see how we're not going to end up with it as a problem in the future. And I know that maybe we can't think about that, but then think about all the other properties in town that have end up being our baby and end up having to be remediated. I don't know. And just bigger issue, it's you're basically getting the building for $300,000 plus at what you're getting property for. So, I mean, that's just crazy to me that a building of that size is only worth $300,000. I'll leave it at that.
Member Powell.
The problem is this is a bid, and if this goes anywhere with the other properties that we bid out, which went for almost double. I mean, this could be bid at that $800,000, or we could get $1.5 million for it. We don't know that. That's the problem. And I think since we put stuff on public surplus, we get more money for what we're doing. I mean, it's been proven time and time again since we've done that. So I don't know if you're going to get $800,000. You might get $1.5, you might get $2, and then you might get $830,000.
What? Oh, okay, go ahead. Assembly member DeBoard.
Right, but you're not guaranteed that. I mean, you're not even guaranteed somebody will even bid on the thing.
Right.
I'm just, it's going to cost, I'll just say this, it will cost us more in the long run, will be my forecast, but then to deal with, keep it and deal with it on our own. I'll just leave it at that.
I did have a legal question. You know, our charter says that we will not sell anything above $1 million without the approval of the voters. Well, when we're going out to bid, even though the value would no longer be $830,000, it's whoever pays for that. So are we in financial and legal jeopardy if we offer a property and it does go up past $1 million?
That's a question for the attorney.
Yeah, we can't.
Good point.
We can't pull that back.
Yes, that's a good point.
So we need to rethink this.
So my suggestion, if the assembly were to vote on this and approve it, we are not doing anything until at least May 16th. So we could always bring it back, or if the assembly wants to postpone it until the next meeting, we could do that until we can find out from the attorney, whichever you prefer.
I would prefer that we do a clean vote so that we all know what's going on. I can't make the motion, but I would prefer that we can postpone it.
Could we go ahead? Oh, sorry.
Assembly Member Howe.
Could we just put it up? Could we do a public vote on it?
We'd have to wait for the next election.
The next election is
right.
Over. Or
do a special election.
I'll make a motion to postpone this until we find out from an attorney if this is able to do it.
Okay.
I second.
All right.
If it's time to do that.
We've got a motion to postpone by Powell, second by Dalrymple. Discussion? Any other questions that we want to ask the attorney? All right, a poll vote, please.
Sure. Assembly members Dalrymple?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
No.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. All right, the last item under unfinished business was the previous item 6D, which is on page 171 for the assembly. This is resolution number 04-22-1691 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending the FY22 budget in the Wrangell Municipal Light and Power Fund by transferring $750,000 from the fund reserves to the capital expenditures account for the AMI metering project and authorizing its expenditure.
Move to approve resolution number 04-22-1691.
Second.
Okay, motion by Howe, second by DeBoard. Administrative report.
So what this project does, it replaces our obsolete system that we currently have at Light and Power, which is a MS-DOS system. with a current updated system that's digitally controlled and can be remotely operated from laptops. So, as discussed in the work session, that's gets us to where we need to be from our obsolete system we currently have.
Our current system is obsolete.
Right.
Okay. Any questions, discussion? Assemblymember Dalrymple?
Yes. You know, I think this is definitely a good project, and I think it's where we need to be. So my main concerns are, again, in the financial parts of it. I understand there's a $3.1 million reserve, and we would be taking a little less than $1 million out of that. But this is a question to the city manager. There's been a lot of other needs associated with electrical, and just a couple I can think of off the top of my head is pole replacement. And also, if I remember right, we have substandard wiring within the generation facility. So in light of these other needs to actually generate power before we get to measure it, how are we doing on those projects and the funding? How would that relate to this $3.1 million? And then the use of the 750 of that.
All right, so we had, and I gave a wrong number earlier than was corrected, but it's actually 3.8 million that we currently have in there. So this would bring us down to around 3.1 million. We're still trying to get the final analysis done for the building wiring on the interior. So once we have that, we'll have some numbers then as far as what we need to do to be able to bring our current system up to kind of where it needs to be on the internal wiring. Then we also have to do some work to the ring bus as well. We're still waiting on those numbers. As far as the poles and things like that, will actually help us get to where we need to be on being able to do a lot of that stuff. Because then we're just buying materials, and it frees our folks up to be able to actually do some of that work in-house than actually having to go out and contract it out. So I feel confident that, and even on top of that, we also have some generators that we have to do rebuilds on for the next 4 years as well. So we'll try to do one every year. But I think we can space those out. I think we'll be able to get the stuff done once we get the cost estimates back on what we need to do to the building and the ring bus. I think we'll have the funding there to be able to do it. And then we can space the other work out and start getting it into some corrective maintenance schedule on an actual schedule that we'll be able to control that. But the problem we have if we don't do this right now is that when it does fail, it's going to cost us a ton of money in-house just trying to do the daily reads, just do our daily work. It's going to be almost impossible for us to keep up with it. And then we're also running out of meters. So we have about 6 months left of current meter inventory, and I don't want to keep on buying meters that are no longer going to be supported anymore because they're obsolete.
Assemblymember Howe?
Well, you pointed out in the work session that it would take a lot less labor, and those people could then be helping to do some of the work you were referencing, like some of the maintenance work too, and the upgrades, because then they wouldn't have to wander around doing meter reading anymore. They could actually be doing other stuff.
Right.
Assemblymember Dalrymple.
Just a follow-up, Jeff, to capture that. You're comfortable with the amount of money we have in the reserve to cover those needs that we know about, plus this.
I am.
With some sort of cushion in there. Okay.
I am.
Thanks.
And I had similar questions to Assemblymember Dalrymple. The other aspect of that is we were supposed to do a survey of Case Avenue for the poles. Do you know the status of that?
I'm not sure we're on the survey. I do know we have issues with some of the easements. I'm not sure if we've actually done the survey, but we do have easement issues on where those are located.
Right.
So I think it's going to be, that's kind of a more complicated issue as far as how we go in and get those replaced. And essentially it's going to have to be almost working with every different person individually as far as where the new poles go and how we do it. And it's going to be a challenging and long process to be able to do that. So
okay,
you're correct.
Okay, so we can expect that in the future, sometime in the future. All right. Any other questions, Assemblymember Powell?
So where are we at with the building?
with the structure itself. Cameron, do you have an update on?
Not much of an update. You know, we.
Do you want to go to the microphone so the listening audience can hear?
Yes. Does this have to do with the AMI metering project?
It does with finances.
Yeah, we're talking about that $750,000.
So my question is then, a couple of years ago, this was a crisis, the building was, and we were supposed to get some values of what we were supposed to do with that. And I'm just kind of in the same boat as Mr. Dalrymple over here, is where we at with that building. Is that going to be something that's going to be a big project, or is it going to come out of our funding for this?
It's going to be a massive. That's a massive project. Okay. It's in the probably the 10 to 20 to 30 million dollar range is probably where we're going to be with that, because we're basically going to have to recap it. And that's where we are working right now with going through and figuring out and looking at some of the grant money that's available and how we can target some of that grant money to be able to do this.
Okay.
I did not expect that number. All right. Any other questions? All right, poll vote, please.
Yes, Assembly Members Dalrymple?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. All right, new business, item 13A, approval of a contract award to Johnson Construction and Supply Incorporated in the amount of $248,989 for the lift station generator enclosure project.
Move to approve a contract award for Johnson Construction and Supply Incorporated in the amount of $248,989 for the lift station generator enclosure project.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Dalrymple. Administrative report, please.
So this is, again, for the enclosure for the lift station that we have that goes up to the search hospital. They were within the 5%, so they got the local 5%, so they are the low bid for that project.
Okay. Assembly Member DeBoard?
Just one question. It said something about, like, search wanted it to try to look like their campus. My question is, are they going to pay for whatever extra that is?
This is, I believe, grant funding, so this was covered by the grant.
State grant that was received for the hospital.
Sounds good. Got it. Sounds good.
And there's $300,000 left on the grant.
Okay.
Beyond what's been encumbered today.
Perfect.
Any other questions? Discussion? Poll vote, please.
Yes, Assembly Members David Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Attorney's file available for Assembly Members to look at in the Borough Clerk's office. No executive session and adjournment at 7:15 p.m.